Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask that You would give us receptive hearts and minds to Your Word, and that we would be able to see the glorious riches that are ours in Christ, and may we ever run to Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19 is found on page 21 if you have a Bible from the back. Genesis chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 15 and continue through verse 26. Our text is verse 26 of Genesis chapter 19. Hear now the word of our God from Genesis chapter 19 at verse 15. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lord, indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown to me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to the famous event of Lot's wife, who looked back at the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and was instantly turned into a pillar of salt. It is an incredibly sad story, but it is a story that teaches us a very important lesson and truth. Lot's wife stands as a stark warning of what we are not to do, and a reminder of what we are supposed to do. Lot's wife teaches us that we are to flee from sin and evil completely. We are not even supposed to desire to go back to it. We must flee it not just outwardly, but we must flee it in our hearts as well. We must flee with our whole person, not just physically. And not only are we supposed to run from our sin, but we are supposed to run to Christ. This is such a needful reminder for us, because each and every one of us has that natural inclination of our heart. Even if we have a conscience that's working quite well, we still have that natural tendency to dabble, don't we? I'll just dabble a little bit in sin. I'll just long to do that A little bit. That's okay. It's just a little bit. I'll just lust a little bit. I'll just allow myself to be a little jealous. I can be angry for just a little while. And if it isn't dabbling that we're doing, then it is also that longing to sin, or wanting to sin, and yet not actually going through with the actions. Lot's wife, as she's running away from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, she looks back because she misses her home. And maybe we sympathize with her that she had a house there and friends there. And she had to leave them all behind, and they were all destroyed. Yet we must remember that when she looked back, she was in her heart desiring to dwell in that wickedness. This was the same city where just that previous night, men from all over the city had come to rape the angels. And she wanted to go back there. She missed that. Living in that sinful city and culture had become normal and comfortable to her. And she didn't want to lose it. She longed to dwell in that sinful place rather than dwell with the Lord. And for her idolatry, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Lot's wife was clearly not a believer, but even for us who believe upon the Lord Jesus, it is still a constant temptation that we face, isn't it? That our sinful hearts want to remain in that sin. We are like dogs that return to our vomit. We want to go back, if only to dabble just a little bit more in that sin. But brothers and sisters, we must be careful, as the Apostle James says in chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Most sin doesn't just happen randomly. And of course, the worst kind of sin is premeditated sin, which is, of course, what we do quite often. We desire something, we see it, we then sin, and then it can ensnare us. If we give in a little bit, it only makes it easier for us to justify sinning even more. I remember as a child, my mom had made that rule, maybe your mom had made the rule as well, that on the driveway, there was a line, and you may not cross the line. And so what did me and my brothers do? Do you think we played in the whole rest of the yard? We had a whole yard to play in. You think we did that? Nope. Me and my brothers just stood there. My toes right on the line, right? Just wanting to go across and looking to see if my mother was watching, to see if I would get in trouble if I did it. And we'd ride our bikes nice and close to that line, and every once in a while we'd go across. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to do it. Just accidentally lost my balance and went over the line. Right? Constantly testing, constantly trying and pushing to get across that line. That's called sin. And we wanted to sin. I wanted to sin. Wanted to disobey. And every once in a while, those sinful desires gave birth to outright rebellion. If we had just stood away from that line, played in the whole rest of the yard, we'd never have to worry about disobeying or being punished or sinning. But we wanted to dabble. We wanted to go as far as we could without committing us too serious of a crime. And so the story of Lot's wife is a clear reminder to us that we must flee from sin. We must run from it with all haste. The Apostle Paul makes use of this idea a number of times in his epistles as well, which is really helpful for us to flesh this out a little fuller. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, Paul says, "Flee sexual immorality." In 1 Corinthians 10:14, he says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry," which, to make common here, all sin can be summarized as idolatry, whether it is the idol of self, the idol of sex, money, fame, food, or entertainment. We are all tempted to worship or serve something or someone other than the Lord. Every time we sin, that is what we are doing. It is an outright rebellion against the Lord. Paul also in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from their faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things." As well as Paul also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. I think you get the point. And as we think about what it genuinely means to repent of our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then of course we are really repenting of our sin when we are fleeing it. We are running away from it. A fleeing from sin and a fleeing to Christ. You cannot say that I repent of this sin and then just go right back doing it. Children, it's like if someone hits you and parents are alerted that this has happened, and they come and they make the person apologize to you and they say, "I'm sorry." And then 5 minutes later, on purpose, they smack you again. Do you think that person was ever sorry? No. They weren't. Well, it's the same thing with us. If we tell God that we're sorry and we ask for forgiveness and then go right back doing the same thing again on purpose, does that mean that we were ever really sorry? No, it doesn't. Now, we are not perfect. And there are some sins that we fall into quite a bit over and over again. We love to be stupid and do the same thing over and over again. But being sorry for our sin and truly repenting does not mean that we are going to be perfect. But it does mean that we are going to actively run from that sin as best as we can. It means that if this is a situation where I'm going to lose my temper, I must do my best to flee from that situation. If this is a situation in which I'm tempted to lust, I must flee from this situation. If it's a situation where I'm jealous or I'm coveting, I must flee from it. I must run away from it. I must not give myself even a moment to dabble in that sinful desire. We must actively flee from sin. You cannot say that you have truly repented of your sin if you move one step away from it and sit down. That doesn't work. You must flee. Now, if we're seeking to just flee from sin, it is always helpful that when you're running from danger, you know where safety is. You know where you're running to. Otherwise, we'd be just a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off, flopping around, not going anywhere, not doing any real good. We just run around aimlessly, really not getting anywhere. If we're going to flee from sin, we must flee to Christ. If we flee anywhere else, we're only fleeing to more sin. We must run from sin and run to Christ. Only He can grant us forgiveness. Only He can cleanse us. Only He can fill us. Only He can empower us by the Holy Spirit to resist sin, flee from it, and run to Him. In other words, only He can give us life and strength to take up our cross and follow Him daily. Only He can give us power to flee from our sinful desires and run to Him. Just as Lot and his family are commanded to flee to safety from the wrath of God against sin and flee from that sin, so too are we to flee from sin and the wrath of God against it and flee to Christ. Flee to the One who can give us perfect safety. Safety from our sin and safety from the wrath of God against it. And of course, it only makes sense that if we're going to effectively run away from sin, then we must run to Christ. This is true for a number of reasons, as we named a minute ago. Christ is the only one that can cleanse us. He is the only one that empowers us to flee from sin and resist it. But also because we, left to ourselves, are empty. We're empty. We are looking for love and satisfaction. In our sin, we'll look for love and satisfaction in all the wrong places. But if we flee to Christ, then we are filled up with divine love and satisfaction. And there we have no longer a reason to go looking for love and satisfaction because we already have it. It's just like before supper time, when you're really hungry and you see that sinful pleasure, whether it's chocolate cake or brownies or cookies or fudge or whatever it is, right? And you say, oh, I'm so hungry and that sounds so good. I'll just eat some of that. And pretty soon you ate way too much than what you were supposed to. And then you ruined your supper. Right? Children, that's what happens when you eat sweets before supper. You ruin it. Okay? That's the logic there. Now, it's sort of like that. If we think that we're going to be satisfied with sin, what happens? We ruined our supper, and we reap the reward of eating all that sweet, which is the destruction of our bodies. We just put on the pounds, didn't we? It's sort of, but if we resist that temptation and we go ahead and we eat our fill of our favorite supper, well, then you're so full you almost don't even want dessert. It's sort of like being at potluck here. There's so much food on the tables and I want to try it all, but by the time dessert comes, I ain't got no room left in my stomach for it. It's sort of like that. If we are filled with Christ, if we are filled with His love, with the satisfaction He provides, removing our sin and guilt, granting us status before God, peace with Him, making us spiritually alive, causing us to delight in good and hate that which is evil and destructive, and etc., then what motivation would there be to go and sin? Instead, by being filled with Christ, the motivation of our hearts should completely change. So that, please notice this progression. We flee from sin, we run to Christ, and we pursue righteousness and holiness. Because, of course, if we're running to Christ, then we're going to pursue keeping His commandments. The Apostle Paul also makes this point in a number of places as well, that we are to pursue holiness and righteousness. Picking up where we left off in 1 Timothy 6:11, where we read, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness." Or 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Or in 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul gives the command, "Pursue love." And finally in Romans 14:19, we read, "Therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." John Stott says it well when he writes, "We are both to run away from spiritual danger and to run after spiritual good, both to flee from the one in order to escape it and to pursue the other in order to attain it. This double duty of Christians, negative and positive, is the consistent, reiterated teaching of Scripture. Thus we are to deny ourselves and to follow Christ. We are to put off what belongs to our old life and put on what belongs to our new life. We are to put to death our earthly members and to set our minds on heavenly things. We are to crucify the flesh and to walk in the Spirit. It is the ruthless rejection of the one in combination with the relentless pursuit of the other, which Scripture enjoins upon us as the secret of holiness. Only so we can hope to be fit for the Master's use." If we are fleeing from sin and we are running to Christ, if we are actually doing it, the only test case for if we're actually doing that is that we are then pursuing righteousness. We're pursuing imitating Christ. We're pursuing wanting to live a life that is pleasing before our Savior. And so, brothers and sisters, let us learn the lesson that is so starkly put before us with the fate of Lot's wife. That we are to flee from sin to Christ, and in Christ we are to pursue righteousness. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, we pray that You would forgive us of all those times when we have wanted to dabble in sin, when we have wanted to get as close to that line as we can. Lord, wash us clean in the blood of Christ. Turn our hearts to You and cause us and give us the strength to flee from all sin, not just some of it, all of it, and run to Christ and in Him to pursue righteousness, that we may in our lives be useful in Your service and glorifying to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.